Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, 1026, welcome back. Just simply because we're moving very quickly through a day that has been very Chiefs-centric, circle back to our Cindio HRO Twitter question of the day. Who's the NFL's MVP right now? Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Todd Gurley, your picks. Get on and vote right now. Patrick Mahomes, not surprisingly, considering where we are, leading the way at 50%, Drew Brees at 47%, Todd Gurley at 3%. Having said that, geographic proximity be damned, I'd still say that I think Patrick Mahomes is probably the MVP right now. Maybe that's splitting hairs with Drew Brees, but, you know, anyway, so it goes. Husker Brad is with us right now. We haven't heard from him in a while. Good to hear you, Husker. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Good.
Well, thank you.
I hope you guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Same to you.
Real quick, you know, it was a lot of fun to watch that game last night, but I don't think either team did themselves any favors. You just mentioned Todd Gurley as the MVP. I believe that with him and Hunt, if both teams early, their run game looked like they were working, but they just kind of went away from it. And the Chiefs almost, and who am I to say anything bad about their offensive coordinators and coach, but I think that they got away from using Hunt. Now, a lot of people say, well, the pass game was working, but what, you know, using the run, what that's going to do is it's going to slow that pass rush down a little bit. And you know, possibly, you know, you don't have a couple turnovers from sacks because you're slowing them down a little bit. And because basically, let's face it, they were pinning their ears back and coming because they pretty much knew the Chiefs were going to pass every down. And when you don't have to worry about the run, you know, it's awful easy to concentrate on just trying to, you know, strip the ball and create a turnover. The other thing you do is by running the ball, I think you tire the defense down a little bit, keep them on the field a little bit longer, keep the other team's offense off the field. So I don't think either team did themselves any favor by just going away from the run game.
If you'd have told a Chiefs fan that the Rams are going to have Todd Gurley touch it 15 times, the Chiefs fan would likely to think that he got hurt.
Yeah. If you're going to tell me that my kicker Butker out fantasy point Gurley, I told you you're crazy.
And the Chiefs are going to win. Yeah. Thanks, Brad. So, appreciate you.
Happy Thanksgiving. That's good stuff, Brad.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Kareem Hunt, 17 touches for 111 yards. I'm sorry. One receiving touchdown. 14 carries. Okay. Todd Gurley, 12 carries. And he was stuffed most of the night. I will say that the Chiefs bottled him up. He had a 24-yard run kind of at the end, but up until that point, 11 carries and 31 yards. Yeah. And he had 3 catches for 39, although I think 2 of them came back-to-back on a fourth-quarter drive. So that's you bottle up Todd Gurley like that, you're doing something. But Goff, 413 yards and 4 touchdowns, and he ran one in.
Well, and these are all the same things that we talk about in college football. What can you do to keep your defense fresh? You don't want to score too quickly. You want to be able to run the ball and handle some time of possession just so that you're giving your defense a chance to rest. I mean, the difference is now we're talking about it in as it relates to the National Football League instead of college football. I will say this. I think last night shows the importance of having a college point of view on your offense. You had Eric Bieniemy running the offense, well, along with Andy Reid, who, of course, is such an innovator anyway. But I think that you're seeing it. The influence of RPO in the NFL was on full display on steroids last night.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the Chiefs ran so many option looks in that game. It was incredible. So I do think that that's something that will continue. And it's like Dan said when we just had him on the show, Dan Israel. I think it's going to be more the norm now how we define defenses. Can defenses make big plays at key times to either to get off the field or force a turnover,
yeah,
but not necessarily keeping another team from scoring? Because if you are willing to track meet people, you can go ahead and beat them 48-43. But
well,
I don't know.
There's just a handful of people that can do it. And two of them were in the same building last night, and the Saints are the other. And I suppose to maybe a little lesser degree, the Steelers. But Ben Roethlisberger isn't playing at a level like those other three quarterbacks are. I mean, he had, I think, three interceptions. If not, he had two, I know, against Jacksonville on Sunday. And they didn't do crap for three quarters. They had 0 points. You'll never hold the Rams or the Chiefs to 0 points through three quarters, I don't think.
And this stuff ain't easy, by the way. You still have to have the personnel. You can have the philosophy. You say, oh yeah, we're going to adopt it. We're going to put guys in motion all over the field. We're going to RPO with the quarterback. We're going to run. You know, it's going to be run pass. And you got to have the people to do it. Because part of what the Chiefs are able to do is they've got people that keep you honest. They've got a tight end that can keep you honest. They've got an X factor in Tyreek Hill that keeps you honest. They've got a guy in Kareem Hunt that can break it on you running the football anytime he does it. And they've got a mobile quarterback who can turn it upfield as well. So you got to have the right personnel. Saints have the right personnel. Not like Drew Brees is running the ball up and down the field, but you get my point. Rams have the right personnel. It's not often that you get all of those pieces together.
But they have the imagination, too, to turn those guys loose. And you put Sean McVay, Sean Payton, and Andy Reid all in the same box in that we're going to motion guys. We're going to at least show jet sweep every other play. Mm-hmm. The RPOs that you talked about. Breeze isn't going to be an RPO guy, but whatever. You get the idea. He's got the guys,
he's got two of the best running. He's got one, maybe the best running back tandem in the NFL.
And he creates.
And he's got pretty good guys on, pretty good receivers too. So.
Yeah, including some guys you haven't heard of that he
throws
them open so often. 76% completion percentage. But when you've got those guys to start with and three coaches that are well outside the box, at least what we're used to from the old guard NFL, and I'm not necessarily talking about 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but, that college system won't work here. Well, some of it doesn't. You know, you can't run the option, and you can't, and regardless of Lamar Jackson running the ball 27 times the other day, that probably won't last or can't last because it'll get broken in half. But there's some of these gadget plays and formations and schemes that absolutely work because you accentuate your best athletes and you put them in positions to gain chunks of yardage. And that's where that's where we are right now. And I didn't think the Rams did nearly as much as the jet sweep action that they normally do. You know, Brandon Cooks had one carry. Mm-hmm. Robert Woods didn't carry any. Normally, that's more. But it just goes to show you how deep these guys' playbooks are. You know, that from 1 week to the next, whatever they think will work maybe wouldn't necessarily work for this opponent that we're getting ready to play. But the fact that they got the courage to, you know, go five wide and have these crazy formations and have those RPOs that puts the defense in a compromising position, I think it's great. I think it's great that they have the creative, freedom to say,
yeah,
I know this isn't conventional, you know, NFL wisdom here, but hear me out on this. And I think everybody would be wise to, you know, open their eyes ears to the way those guys play.
Yeah, and to your point, that's kind of NFL dogma. Because that's what the NFL has always been. It's a copycat league, and everybody does a lot of the same thing. And they've done now. Now it's changed over the years. You get a Bill Walsh, or you get a whomever, you know, a Tom Landry, a guy with an offensive mind that that can change the look of football. But everybody goes to it very, very quickly. This is a little different. You can go do this, but you got to have some pieces to the puzzle to be able to do this and do this well. But I do think you're right. The amount of imagination that these guys are showing, the Sean McVays and Andy Reid, and that's cool. I think it's cool, and I think it's good to look at something different.
When June Jones went to Atlanta and brought the run and shoot, or who was it in Detroit? They ran the Silver Streak, which is a basically the run and shoot with Andre Ware and I think Rodney.
I don't know.
Keith.
Was that Mouse Davis?
It may have been. It was Wayne Fonts. It wasn't Wayne Fonts, was it? Anyway, why didn't that stuff work then? And it kind of worked for the Oilers under when Warren Moon was there, if you remember that, when he had Jeffries and a couple other guys. Was the fact that they didn't even try to run the ball, is that what killed them? Is that the difference between those guys then and these teams now? These teams now will at least show run and run the ball a little?
Well, yeah. In fact, they run to a large degree to accentuate the passing game because there's still elements of play action that works very nicely with an RPO. I mean, you can put a ball in a guy's gut and pull it out, and then all of a sudden you're getting – all sorts of things open. I don't know. That's a good question. I'd have to go back and really bear down on those teams. But it's kind of come and gone in the NFL. But not to this degree where you've got this much motion and this much shifting and this much and guy, you got a lot of things going on now that are different than really what they've done before. But the irony is that this is all being done in college football.
Right.
I mean, you turn on college football, and we've been seeing this for the last, oh, my gosh, 8, 9 years, eight years, maybe to this degree. So it's interesting.
Yeah. And
it's interesting.
You know, the one thing that won't change, especially nowadays in the NFL, is you better – put some pressure on the passer because it's a passing league.
Mm-hmm.
Points aplenty. You better at least make the guy that's dropping back 45 times a little nervous from time to time. And the Rams did it just a little more often than the Chiefs did last night. That's pretty much the difference.
And we forget, of course, and I don't think we forget, but we don't talk enough about how the NFL has essentially emasculated defenses.
That's true.
And I get the whole thing with leading with your head and targeting. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about the rules of engagement, contact, the things that you get. It just, everything is set up for offenses now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is set up for offenses. All right, let's check Dennis real quickly here, and then we got to get to On This Day in History. Dennis, good to have you, my friend. How are you?
Just fine on you. Well, I tell you what, a quick comment and something I don't think I've heard this morning, and that especially for the Chiefs, luck or lack thereof. I mean, the game could have been over if we had intercepted a pass that should have been an interception. It might have been over had Mahomes' shoulder not been hit on that last pass that was intercepted because he had a man he was throwing to that was behind the defense.
Right.
So
yeah, that Skandrick drop was big. That was big, that Skandrick drop. Yep.
That was the game right there. So lack of luck on those two plays, I thought, loomed large. That's all I had. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Dennis.
Right, Dennis. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in a 3-point game like that, you can go back to those moments. No question.
Kick yourself.
Skandrick, that would have been a hell of a catch. He was pretty contorted. He could have had it, certainly. Would have been a pretty damn good play. I don't think it was just routine by any stretch. And Dennis is right. that was Peters, right? That was on the Peters interception.
Yeah. Just floated out there.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah, he that guy hurried him just a little bit and got to him just enough that he underthrew that ball because he was going about 12 yards deeper than where it ended up. No question. On this day in history, as we continue here in a moment, Tuesday edition of Sports Daily, right here on your sports station, KFH.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.